hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
In the past, the way I used to watch movies was I would start them in the middle because I would only want to give an hour, because more than an hour would be a waste of time. So I'd only want to give an hour to watching a movie, but I didn't want to start in the beginning and end at the middle. So I would start in the middle and get the satisfaction of finishing the movie in an hour. Now, based on the look on your faces, you're telling me, Sarah, that's just dumb. That's not normal. If you start a movie in the middle, you'll just end up confused because you won't have the context of what the movie's about. You won't know who the characters are. You won't know what the plot is. You won't know what the setting is. And so you'll just end up confused. And that's what would usually happen. I would end up confused. But at least I'd still have the satisfaction of watching a movie in an hour. But guys, I not only do this with movies, but we do this with the story of Jesus. We want to get to know Jesus, and so we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the story of his life. But where is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in context of the Bible? It's in the middle. No, it's past the middle. So if we want to understand who Jesus is, then we need to look before he comes on the scene. And it gives us context for what he was born for. So tonight, we are going to look at Jesus as our high priest. But we're not going to start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to rewind so that we get the context of what it means that he is our priest. So we're going to rewind and ask two questions. First question, why did God establish the priesthood? And what difference does that make to us? Let's be real. When someone says, let's talk about priests, you guys have that blank, hazy look on your face. You're like, oh no, this is going to be a boring one. So the second question of this sermon is, why should I care? What difference does that make to me that Jesus is my priest? But first, we're going to go with the first question. Why did God establish the priesthood? The short answer is so that when people came close to God, they wouldn't die. It's pretty important. Now, this sounds really harsh, but the penalty for sin is death. It's as true as the penalty for touching a hot stove is getting burnt. And when a sinful human being came in contact with a holy God, the result was not good. So God gave his people the book of Leviticus, which is the third book of the Bible, and it outlined how a sinful person could approach a holy God. Now, I'm going to show you a very short clip, and I want you to listen and try and identify what God's motivation is for the actions that he does.
The book of Leviticus, we know you've been avoiding it because it's weird, so let's fix that. Now, remember, the story of the Bible began with humans in God's presence, but they were banished because of their rebellion. However, God wants to be in relationship with us, so he chooses one family that he will use to restore the world back into his presence.
And so God's presence comes to dwell in a tent right in the middle of Israel.
And that's great.
But it creates a problem because it's so intense that Moses can't go in, and other priests who enter inappropriately, they die.
Well, wait, if God's presence is good, how is it all of a sudden dangerous for people?
So think of it this way. God's presence is like the sun. It's pure power and goodness. When something mortal and corruptible gets close to such pure power, it's destroyed. And so the word holiness is used in Leviticus to describe God's pure and powerful presence, which, like the sun, is both good and dangerous. So the point of Leviticus is to show how corrupt Israelites can live near God's goodness without being destroyed.
All right. Did you hear that? God has a dilemma. His desire is to live in relationship and closeness with his people, but their sin had corrupted them. So the motivation for every action that God did was to restore closeness. Now, in his mercy, he created a system, which is outlined in the book of Leviticus. And it shows how the death of an animal would pay for the penalty of sin so that God can still have relationship with his people. And he established this system 3,000 years ago, around the time 1300 BC. And God appointed Aaron's family, who was Moses' brother, to form the first priesthood. He established the priesthood to be a mediator between God and man. And the priests were to offer sacrifices to pay for the penalty of sin. Now, what is a mediator? I want you to picture an astronaut, okay? When they are in space, they have to wear a special suit because their bodies are not compatible with the environment of space. So the suit is a mediator between the astronaut and space, and it protects them from dying. Now, is space evil for killing someone without a suit on? No. Just like God's holiness is not evil, but our sin is not compatible with God's holiness. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's why he established the priesthood, to be a mediator between him and the people. Now, all throughout the year, the priests would perform these sacrifices. But once a year, on a day called the Day of Atonement, also known as Yom Kippur, the high priest, who was the holiest man of all of Israel, would enter into the inner court of the tabernacle. This place was known as the Holy of Holies. He would go behind the curtain and would sacrifice a bull and a goat, which would make the people holy before God once again. Meanwhile, while the high priest was in there, the entire nation would be fasting and holding their breath. They would be hoping that the mediator, the high priest, would not die and that God would forgive their sins. Now, year after year, the high priest would perform this ritual on behalf of the people. It wasn't a one-time event. It was a yearly thing, a continuous thing, because sin is not a one-time offense. You see, sin is more like a chronic illness than a treatable sickness. Now, for example, a treatable sickness, my dad was diagnosed 6 months ago with cancer. He went through radiation and surgery, and he is now pronounced cancer-free. That was a treatable sickness. But sin couldn't just be removed from our bodies in a single treatment. It's more like a chronic illness, something like diabetes, that for the rest of their lives, they have to have insulin injections so that it manages the problem. And that's what the Day of Atonement did. It managed the problem of sin. But as the Old Testament progresses, we get little hints that at some point, sin is no longer going to be a chronic illness. at some point it will be regarded as a treatable sickness. Now in Zechariah 3, it foretells the coming of Jesus. It says, "Listen to me, O Joshua the high priest, and all you other priests. You are symbols of things to come. Soon I am going to bring my servant, the branch. Now look at the jewel I have set before Joshua, a single stone with seven facets. I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord of heaven's armies, and I will remove the sins of this land in a single day." God promises that he has a plan to remove sin in a single day. Do you know what motivates that plan? His desire for closeness. And that is the answer to our first question. Why did God establish the priesthood? Because he wants to be close. Not just to the priests, though, but to anyone who wants relationship with him. So that brings us to our second question. What difference does this make to us? Now, when Jesus came to earth, many prophecies that he would come as our high priest, and he would become the ultimate sacrifice for sins. And what his sacrifice could do that the sacrifice of bulls and goats could not do is once and for all allow us to live close to God. So listen to this. We're moving fast forward to the New Testament. We're going to a book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10 says, "Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." I love this because it means that Jesus paid the penalty through his sacrifice so that we can now come close to God and not die. This is a good thing. So God demonstrated this truth with a very powerful demonstration the moment that Jesus died on the cross. Now, as Jesus was hanging on the cross and he took his last breath, something happened in the Holy of Holies. And that something was that the curtain that separated all the people from the Holy of Holies tore from top to bottom. And I bet the priests serving in that temple that day were terrified. Because they knew if you went into the Holy of Holies any other day besides the Day of Atonement, you would die. So they were there, they heard the sound of this massive tear, and they froze. And they knew they were about to die. And then they blinked, and they blinked again. And they were still alive. And what God declared through that demonstration is that he was tearing down the thing that separated us from the Holy of Holies. And he was letting us come close to him. So what difference does this make to us? All the difference in the world. And we see this if we continue reading Hebrews 10. It says, "Therefore, brethren." Wait. Therefore. Every time you see "therefore" in the Bible, it's really important to look at the truth right before it. And I had already read that verse, but to recap, it basically says, Jesus is our high priest, and he paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. So now it says, therefore, based on that truth, there is a call to action. And let's see what that call to action is. All right. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The call to action is a call to draw near to God. Based on the truth that he is our priest and he paid the price, we can boldly enter the Holy of Holies. Now, you probably can't get an appointment with Jacinda Ardern tomorrow. And you probably can't have coffee with Stan Walker tomorrow. But you can, right now, enter into the Holy of Holies, which means you can talk to God, and he's listening to you. Do you take him up on that incredible privilege? To find out if you do, ask yourself this question. Do I live carrying around guilt? Do I live feeling unclean? Because it says in Hebrews 10 that he has removed the guilty conscience and he has washed our bodies with pure water. God does not want you to live with guilt or shame. Because guilt and shame, it makes us withdraw, which is the opposite of what God wants. Does anyone have a dog? A couple of people. Okay. So my family dog back in Michigan, her name's Bailey. And one thing that she would do is she would dig holes in our walking pathway right outside our house. Now, this caused many trips, and I had a friend over, and they were carrying a bunch of bottles of wine, and they tripped, and all of it just went all over the ground. So it caused a lot of problems. So we had to get very serious with Bailey, and we said, no. And do you know what she does in response to feeling guilty? She tucks her little tail under her legs and slowly backs away because she has a guilty conscience. And that's what we do. When we feel ashamed, when we feel guilt, we tuck our little tail between our legs and we're like, I'm going to withdraw. And you withdraw from relationship with God and you withdraw from relationship with people. But God does not want you to withdraw. He wants you to come close. Some of you may be here sitting tonight and you feel like you're suffocating under the weight of guilt or shame. Or maybe you have this lingering feeling that you should have done this differently or said that differently. But I encourage you tonight, don't withdraw. Draw near to God and let him wash away that guilt and shame.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.